Hey everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Media Boat Podcast. Today is April the 16th, 2024. This is episode 431. I'm just Matt today, no Mike. He is going to be out for a few weeks as he figures out a schedule. You know how it is. Family stuff. You know. If you are new to the Media Boat Podcast, let me briefly explain what we do here. We are a podcast that talks about the media, hence the name, including movies, television, video games, and music, but not necessarily in that order. And we have all of that to talk about today. Bits and pieces, because if you're familiar with the show, sometimes we talk about some bits. Well, today, it's all bits, baby. No full fries, just little crumbs at the bottom. That's what we're giving you today here at the Media Boat Podcast. So, without further ado, let's jump right into it. We always start with the music section, and we always start with the music section with the Hot 100. What are the hottest singles in the land, according to Billboard? Your number one song for the second week in a row is Like That by Future, Metro Boomin, and Kendrick Lamar. We'll talk a little bit more about the rap beef that song contributed to a little later. Following that, number two, Too Sweet by Hozier. Also, the punchline to the joke, what did you say after the hot chocolate enema? Too hot? No, too sweet. Don't ask. Number three, Beautiful Things by Benson Boone. Number four, Lose Control by Teddy Swims. And rounding out your top five, Texas Hold'em by Beyonce. Moving on to the albums chart, the Billboard 200. Your number one album for the second week is Cowboy Carter by Beyonce. Number two, Might Delete Later, the mixtape from J. Cole. Number three, Minisode 3, : Tomorrow by Tomorrow X Together. Number four, We Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin. And number five, One Thing at a Time by chair-throwing Morgan Wallen. That's your album's chart, but if you didn't like any of those releases, how about some new releases? And boy, do we have a doozy this week. First up this week, Final Summer by Cloud Nothings, But I'll Wait for You by Local Natives, Tarantula Heart by Melvins, Dark Matter by Pearl Jam, yes, that Pearl Jam, Name Your Sorrow by Pillow Queens, The Other Side by T-Bone Burnett, and nothing else. Nothing else is coming out. Wait, no, of course. I bury the lead, folks. The Tortured Poets Department, the 11th album by Taylor Swift, is out this Friday, so we will be talking about, or I guess I will be talking about it next week on next week's show. So look forward to my full thoughts about The Tortured Poets next week. But for now, let's move into some music bits and pieces among the music industry this week. We start with a little update from the United States Justice Department, as they are reportedly preparing to sue Live Nation for antitrust violations as soon as next month. So we had heard some scuttlebutt, and we had been reporting about this for the last almost 6 months or so, about the Biden administration's issues with Ticketmaster and Live Nation, basically making claims that they have a monopoly on the ticketing industry. Hey, look at it. They basically do. A bunch of venues are owned by them, only sell their tickets through them, as we saw through the Taylor Swift Eras Tour debacle. Ticketmaster throttles everybody through a small tube. Everybody has to use them in the same way under their rules. Reselling is limited, and just price gouging up the hoo-ha if it does happen. It's just not a good time for anybody. And I think that once it got to the point where the federal government was getting involved, this was bound to happen. So if a lawsuit does occur, I don't know if Live Nation and Ticketmaster have much of a say. I don't know if they have a case to really back themselves up here. I think that this could change a lot when it comes to the music industry going forward. So an event industry. It's even beyond music, really, when you think about it. So fingers crossed that maybe this changes the way that Ticketmaster / Live Nation does business here. But it remains to be seen. Meanwhile, in music news, it's that time of year again. The Library of Congress has selected certain records to be included in the National Recording Registry. This basically means that the registry chooses a certain amount of culturally significant or important albums to save for posterity, to just say, here's the legacy of American music, and here's some examples of that legacy. This year, they've selected records by Green Day, The Chicks, The Notorious B.I.G., ABBA, and Blondie. Not a bad pick of the bunch. I think this is a solid list. All bands are culturally significant, I would say. All bands have quality material. I didn't actually look at what specific albums these are, but I'm betting this is Dookie or American Idiot. I'm guessing Dookie. It's enjoying its 30th anniversary, and I believe you have to... Well, maybe you don't, because some of these other ones, like The Chicks, don't have a 30-year-old record that I know of. The Chicks, I would guess this is either Wide Open Spaces or Fly. It could be something later. But yeah, good choices. Nonetheless, I don't have any issues with any of these picks, that's for sure. Some of my personal favorites in here. Next up, speaking of archived materials, The Beatles will return to Disney Plus in this, but this time in the form of the 1970 documentary filmed for the album Let It Be. It's been out of circulation for 4 decades. It's been a very hard film to track down, but it's going to get the Peter Jackson, Peter Jackson restoration treatment, the same treatment he gave the Get Back documentary series that was on Disney Plus a couple of years back. So yeah, footage will be restored, audio will be likely restored as well. It'll be cool to see the original documentary that was to accompany the album and see what it was like to bring those Beatles back for one last hurrah with Let It Be. So yeah, sure, why not? Peter Jackson keeps on bringing this stuff back to the forefront and Beatles fans keep winning. Let's move on. Somebody who's not necessarily winning in media a lot of the time when she decides to take interviews is Courtney Love. Courtney Love, of course, of the band Hole, former wife of the late Kurt Cobain. Say what you will about her, she's extremely opinionated, and that struck again this week. In an interview, she made some comments about several artists, but most notably Taylor Swift, in anticipation of her new record release. She was asked what she thinks of Taylor. Courtney more or less said that she's not important and does not make interesting music. I'm paraphrasing there. I think the actual quote is a little bit more complicated than that. I think she goes into talking about how she believes that her music, though, is a safe space for young girls, and she says that that's a good thing. In the same interview, she makes comments about Lana Del Rey and Beyonce. And Madonna, I believe. So it wasn't just focused on Taylor. Here's the deal. I respect Courtney Love. That's, I think, the best word I can use for her. I don't always love the things she say. I don't agree with all of her opinions. Famously, she was very adamant about not titling herself a feminist in the late 90s. Made that a point, especially considering Kurt very much did align himself with the Riot Girl movement at the time and did refer to himself as a feminist. So she didn't exactly even take the same side as Kurt in a lot of those cases. So she's been a controversial figure. You know, just Google backstage Courtney Love, Kathleen Hanna, and you can maybe see some complicated situations she's gotten herself into over the years, as well, of course, you know, prominent drug use, you know. Her image has been rehabilitated over and over again. She's tried to make, you know, make herself, her image look a little bit brighter than it maybe used to be, less complicated of an issue, of a figure, I guess I should say. But still, she made some great music. I think those two whole records specifically Live Through This and Celebrity Skin are classics, and yeah, I respect her as an artist, but hey, you're not always going to be right when you say a lot of things, and Courtney Love has said a lot of things. So yeah, there you go. Not a big deal, so stop blowing up about it. Let's move on to some other people that are blowing up about it. Drake, who is continuing to make headlines as being part of this rap feud. Well, the feud window just keeps getting wider. Rick Ross has now become involved. Uma Thurman is involved somehow. It's complicated. But the newest salvo in the war came from Drake itself, himself, or has it? I say or has it because a leaked version of a supposed Drake diss track has reached YouTube. It is called Push Ups. And in it, he purportedly disses a lot of the targets that dissed him, including lines about J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar. I'm not going to go into the specifics of this. I have not listened to the track. People have mixed opinions about it. It's also sort of an interesting conversation, I think, about what a diss track should be. Should it be a hit song that is a good song that just happens to insult and add to the conversation about other rappers? Or should it just be rhymes about dissing a rapper and not necessarily be a hit single? I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't have an opinion here. I'm going to move this paper towel behind me because it's bugging me. Sorry about the lunch trash. I ate lunch earlier. as one does. I don't really have a preference. However, diss tracks are fascinating to me. They remind me of kind of the old tradition of the response song or the answer song in the 60s. It doesn't happen that often outside of the rap genre, but when it does, it's always interesting. So I say keep the feud going. Why not? It's interesting. As long as actual violence doesn't happen, I think we're in the clear. So cool. Keep it rolling. This is just eating the popcorn over here. And lastly, speaking of Taylor Swift, who is about to have a very big week, she had her songs returned to TikTok. This is notable considering that just a few weeks ago we reported that Universal Music Group, the organization that currently has publishing rights to Taylor's music, pulled all of their catalog off of TikTok. This was around the same time that conversations were being had on a national level about whether TikTok was going to be banned. That has yet to happen. Taylor, of course, is promoting an album. So this makes sense timing-wise why she would convince them, hey, put my stuff on there. People really like having it there. And also, I would like to promote my music on TikTok. Makes sense. If you're Taylor Swift, you can make these things happen. And no one will be able to tell you no. That is probably a good segue to jump into kind of this news slash thoughts combination thing that I'll use to talk about. Hey, Coachella was last weekend. Of course, I didn't go. I'm not going to go to Indio. Why? Why would I? There's nothing there. But thankfully, YouTube was streaming weekend one. And I got to watch a lot of stuff from there. I'm going to summarize some of the biggest events. Yes, Taylor Swift was there. Travis Kelce was there. They were there. They were hanging out with the reality stars and dancing around as Taylor's wont to do. She was wearing a podcast that had the logo for Travis's podcast. He was wearing a podcast. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with my mouth? She was wearing a hat. Can't wear a podcast. Not yet. Media Boat Podcast here. We're going to develop and sell the first wearable podcast. Just wait, you see. It's going to be like the Atari speaker hat. You can wear the Media... You know what, actually? I just thought about it. The Media Boat logo would make such a rad hat in that teal color. Oh my god. We have to make this. I have to make this. Mike, if you're listening to this, this is something we have to do now. I'm envisioning it in my head, and it's just, that logo would be so rad on a hat. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, Taylor! Taylor wore a hat with the logo of Travis Kelce's podcast on it, which I thought was pretty funny. So that's a thing that happened. But no, no, that is not one of the big headlines from Coachella. The headline was the headliner of Saturday night. No doubt. Yes, Gwen Stefani and crew came back after a pretty long hiatus to play the hits. And play the hits they did, but they didn't only play hits. They played some deep cuts as well. I was watching with No Doubt superfan Christy. It inspired us to do a video, which you can find on our YouTube channel, that is about Christy tier ranking her favorite No Doubt songs. So check that video out. It's over an hour and not edited. It's wonderful. No Doubt fans only apply. But yeah, we were having a blast because she was so amazed that they were pulling out some really deep, like, deep catalog tracks in there. Some really early No Doubt stuff was kind of in the middle of some more recent stuff, but they played the ones that you'd want to play. They played Don't Speak, they played Hella Good, they played Just a Girl, New, Bathwater. Notably, Olivia Rodrigo showed up to duet with Gwen for Bathwater, which was great. Kind of a 90s icon meets a 90s girl at heart moment, which was very, very cool. So yeah, it seemed like a lot of people loved that show, and it really surprised us. We did not expect it to be as good as it was. Gwen still can bring it out, even when you even when she's done nothing in, for, but prove that she's a different person over the last decade with, you know, marrying Blake Shelton and judging reality shows. But she still is that same Gwen Stefani, and it was really cool to see her break out those classic Tragic Kingdom era bits for the show. And they played Madness, cover of Madness's One Step Beyond, because folks, ska is back. I don't know, do the kids love ska? I know they love shoegaze. I don't know how they feel about ska, but hey, maybe they're gonna get back into ska. Bring it back, folks. Anyway, elsewhere on the Coachella stages, let's just speed through some of these headlines. J Balvin brought Will Smith out to rap Men in Black. Yes, the song from the movie Men in Black. I don't know. Real millennial hours over here. Let's see. Chapel Roan did an amazing breakout set. Like, check that out. Like, she is going to explode this year. She is going to be the next big pop thing. Just wait. What else? Renee Rapp brought Kesha on stage, and she changed the lyric in TikTok to "Wake up in the morning saying fuck P. Diddy," complete with flipping off the audience. It was perfect. No notes. What else? I'm sure there was other stuff, but those were notable moments to me. Oh yeah, and Victoria Monet said Free Palestine, so hey, thanks Victoria. Thanks for the effort. All right. Anyway, that's Coachella. Like I said, a lot of the replay footage and YouTube is on YouTube if you want to see some videos. I don't know if they're live streaming weekend two. I know they used to only do weekend one. I am not an expert, I can't tell you, but probably look at the footage that people have either shot on their phones or see if there's replays of your favorite artists on there. But anyway, that's it for music. I didn't listen to anything this week. Like I said, big Taylor Swift section next week, so wait for that reaction. But for now, let's move on. And we move on to the second section of our show today, which is about video games. And we always start with the new releases. This week in video games, we have Whisker Waters on PC, PS5, and Switch. Final Fantasy 16, The Rising Tide, which appears to be some DLC for Final Fantasy 16. That is on PS5 exclusive. Skr Ritual, that's S-K-E-R. That is coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Reigns, Beyond on PC and Switch. Reigns being that card-based narrative game. Grounded. Yes, the Xbox Game Pass Grounded comes to PS5, PS4, and Nintendo Switch this week. Harold Halibut comes to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X, and PSA. That is available on Game Pass if you're on Xbox or PC. And then lastly, Planet of Lana, previously an Xbox and Game Pass exclusive, comes to PS5, PS4, and Nintendo Switch this week. So, those are your new releases. Let's move on into some game bits. Yes, more bits. I promised you bits. Here are more. This time, video game bits. The first is something that got announced today. If you are looking forward to some indie games on your Nintendo Switch, well, Nintendo's got your back. A Nintendo Indie World live stream will be returning tomorrow. So tune in to Nintendo's YouTube channel tomorrow to get news about new indie games. And yes, I know what you're thinking. Do we finally get the announcement of Hollow Knight Silksong? Maybe? I don't know. Every time we seem to say that, it doesn't happen. So those of you who are still waiting for Silksong to come out, don't hold your breath. Just keep breathing. Just breathe in, breathe out. Practice it with me. It's okay. If the game doesn't get announced tomorrow, it's not the end of the world. It will eventually come out. Elsewhere in video game news, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, according to an analyst, is underperforming for Square sales-wise. Apparently, according to some numbers that this analyst had access to, it is selling about half of what Final Fantasy VII Remake did in its original release window at the same time. So, is this potentially bad news for Square? Does this complicate future release of, say, the third installment in the Final Fantasy VII Remake series? I think they put that game out regardless of how this one sells. I think that it probably says more about inflation, the price of the game, and the time that it's coming, and that, like, the competition I think it has in the video game space this time, as opposed to a lack of quality or a difference in package that you get. From what I understand, in fact, from what Micah said, is that there's even more to do in Rebirth than there was in Remake, making that $70 price tag actually look pretty decent for the package that you get. So I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why the sales are lower. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a lack of marketing, or maybe people just got scared away with the fact that this is a sequel and not something they can just jump in out of nowhere. I don't know. Whatever it was, Square is going to consider this, and I don't know what this means for the future. But yeah, it's worrying nonetheless, especially if you're a fan of this game or Final Fantasy, big budget Final Fantasy games in general. I wish they were rewarded for putting out something that so many people loved that much, instead of being, you know, showing trepidation because of sales numbers. But we'll see what happens. Next up, Fallout has had a big week. We'll talk about the television show in a moment. But the effect that the Amazon series has had on the games is already apparent. It's not only tripling the numbers of people playing the existing Fallout games on Steam, so that includes Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, the original Fallouts, the Interplay games, as well as the most current Fallout games, Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. Yes, tripling. You heard that right. It is like up to, I think, 155 million players this week alone jumped into Fallout games on Steam. That's not including like other platforms where people can play Fallout. So people watch the show and were like, you know what? This is working out for me. I think I want to play Fallout now. Perfect marketing decision, I think. Not only has it done all this, but it's also sparked Bethesda to do some work on Fallout 4. Yes, this month we will get a new version of Fallout 4 that will upgrade it for the current generation. So this will include a frame rate increase. I believe this improves field of view, widescreen field of view for the PC release. A lot of little bug fixes, a lot of little tinkering with visual settings to bring that game up to the modern specifics. So hey, if you've been inspired, if you're one of those people who are inspired by the show to go jump back into Fallout 4, there's never been a better time because it'll look and play better than ever before. Will I jump back into Fallout 4? No. I don't think it's that great of a game. I loved 3. I loved New Vegas. If I was going to go back to that experience, I'd probably just play New Vegas again. I think what Starfield proved to me, though, is that there's quality of life things that need, that I really wanted back in the day, especially with Fallout 4, that just never got introduced. Maybe the move is play it with like a cheat engine style thing on PC and just like give myself infinite storage and just make myself invincible and then just be able to explore at my own pace and play the game like I'd want to play. That sounds fun. But just playing vanilla Fallout 4 sounds like a miserable time right now for where I'm at. I also don't have time. Like, I haven't played that very, very many video games recently because beyond, like, the show, because it's baseball. Because, yeah, I just haven't had the time or desire to do so lately. I go through these, I've talked about this on the show before, but I go through this, like, up and down where I am playing so many video games I can't stop, and then times where I'm, like, not playing any video games, and it's the latter for me right now. But, hey, maybe that coin will flip. Remains to be seen. But for now, let's round out the video game news today. Baldur's Gate 3 won another major video game of the year award, this time at the 2024 BAFTA Game Awards in England. So congratulations to Larian Studios for another big win for Baldur's Gate. But lastly, we have to balance the good with the bad, and the studio behind Immortals of Avium, a underperforming game from last year released by EA, has apparently furloughed the majority of its staff. So that means, unfortunately, despite some people thinking that Immortals of Avium was a pretty quality, like, cult hit, they will not be able to make a new game with the same team. They will have to find new jobs. And I do hope that they find their footing, because from what I understand, that the game, even though it was largely slept on, has its fans and seems like a pretty quality piece of work. So yeah, pour one out for the Immortals of Avium team and everybody who needs to find employment soon. I hope they do. All right, no video game thoughts this week, so with that, we'll move on to the second half of the show, the television section, and we always start television with the sports corner. I don't have any sports things to point to, so I'll just point to the sky, to, the spirit of baseball. I don't know. Some spirit up there. We start with the sports with some headlines, including the Masters update. The Masters tournament happened this past week, and your winner was Scottie Scheffler with a score of negative 11 to win the tourney. So congratulations to Scottie Scheffler, and enjoy the jacket. Next up, in the Masters, only 6 golfers out of everyone finished under par. Turns out to be a pretty difficult tournament in the end there. If you're wondering how Tiger Woods fared, he made his 25th consecutive Masters cut line. I don't know what that means. Thanks for translating, Mike. Thank you for that. Enough about golf. We move on to UFC for some reason. UFC 300 happened. That is literally all Mike has written here. It happened. I'm guessing it's a milestone because it's UFC 300. I don't know. Did Roman centurions show up? Was there a giant hole? I'm not really clear on why this is news, but I don't want to say congratulations to Dana White. Moving on. But the biggest news was the WNBA draft happened, and everybody had their eyes on it because none other than the college basketball champ, Caitlin Clark, was, of course, selected number 1 overall draft pick by the Indiana Fever. So congratulations to Caitlin for making that professional draft, and we'll see how she does in the proper WNBA season when their season begins. No major baseball headlines this week. Oh, ha! Mike forgot something. Yes, there was one, which is that the league's investigation into the Ippei slash Shohei Ohtani sports betting scandal was wrapped up this past week, with Ippei Mizuhara being arrested and being, found guilty on betting in an illegal sports book. So yes, the investigation found no wrongdoing on Shohei Ohtani's part. They looked through his phone, didn't find any evidence that he spoke to Ippei about the gambling, spoke to Ippei about what money that was being, like, about the money being taken from his account. He had no knowledge of it. He cooperated thoroughly with the investigation. Meanwhile, they found a lot of damning evidence on Ippei's phone, including conversations with the bookie, where he basically admitted that, one, he was bad at sports gambling, which is why he was in so much debt, and two, that he was indeed stealing from Ohtani's accounts. So yeah, he had access to Ohtani's bank accounts, was actively removing money from them, and was trying to cover it up. So yes, he was found guilty. He is toast. He even admitted himself that they were going to end him, and they pretty much did. So we won't be seeing Ippei anytime soon, and in the meantime, Shohei Ohtani comes out as a victim in the case, and thus does not seem to have any like illegal activity attached to him. So he gets off scot-free, no issues, no tarnish to his reputation. So Shohei Ohtani gets to continue focusing on what he does best, which is playing baseball. And turns out he's pretty good at that. The Dodgers continue to have a pretty stellar season, despite the controversy. So congratulations to Shohei for getting out of that, but bad news for Ippei, but then again, seems like he deserved it. Don't do that. Just don't do that. If you have a gambling problem, I don't know, call that number. We need that number on the bottom of the thing. Just don't become Ippei. Don't do that. Anyway. Meanwhile, baseball, not much else to report. The season keeps seasoning. But basketball, as we've been talking about, wrapped up their season, their regular season, that is, on the 14th. The Boston Celtics topped the Eastern Conference. The Oklahoma City Thunder topped the Western Conference. The play-in tournament begins Wednesday, starting the official start of proper postseason play. So, basketball fans rejoice. The postseason is here. Meanwhile, hockey, just like basketball, is about to wrap up their season. That will wrap up on the 18th. And big news coming out of Arizona. If you're a Coyotes fan, well, bad news. They're moving. The team was sold to a couple in Salt Lake City, Utah, the same owners of the Utah Jazz. And thus, the Arizona Coyotes will become the Salt Lake City Coyotes and will be moving there next year. So if you enjoy going to hockey games in Arizona, well, all five of you are going to have to get over it. Sorry, that's really mean. I'm sure they're Coyotes fans somewhere. Hi, Coyotes fans. And then, their postseason is coming up soon as well, with the Western Conference playoffs all set. So, hockey fans, get ready for some fun playoff action. All right, that'll do it for the sports section. He doesn't have anything else here, so that means we can safely move on to some television news. And guess what? Surprise! Not surprise, I told you. It's the bits again. Our first bit is a little update that we actually didn't report on when it happened. But yeah, Jonathan Majors, yes, the canceled slash buried his career under the ground, Jonathan Majors, after being involved in some weird ass stuff, has been officially sentenced to 52-week domestic violence intervention program. So we won't be hearing from Jonathan Majors anytime soon. So good riddance. Next up, Kit Harington has confirmed that the Game of Thrones Jon Snow spinoff series has been shelved. So that will, like, in all likelihood, not happen. I probably have one name that comes up to my mind to blame for this happening, and it's David Zaslav. I bet just the numbers just weren't there. They couldn't commit to the budget that they probably wanted or needed to make this thing, and they probably just bailed. They were probably just like, no, it's not worth spending the money on something that might not be a super mega hit. Because that's how Zaslav does business these days. Next up, because reboots are all the rage and everything is coming back, Heroes. Yes, the NBC superhero show Heroes is set to be reboot. Its reboot is in the works from creator Tim Kring and is titled Heroes : Eclipse. We just had the real eclipse, so maybe that made this happen. Maybe the Moon was a big Heroes fan. Moon said, save the cheerleader, save the world, as it like closed over the sun, and they just had to make this. I don't know. Or they really like Twilight? I don't know. Crossover? Maybe? I would love to see Taylor Lautner interact with the crew from Heroes. Make that happen. Hayden Panettiere versus Kristen Stewart in the final face-off. Actually, yeah, sign me up for that. I'd be into that. Anyway, speaking of people who are in a lot of shows in the 2010s, Kat Dennings is going to be paired with Tim Allen for an ABC comedy upcoming called Shifting Gears. Ugh, what's the opposite of sign me up for that? Because that's how I feel about this project. Stop giving Tim Allen sitcoms. He's had too many of them, and they haven't been any good. So why are we why? Stop doing this. Anyways. Next up, some good news in case you like some quality children's entertainment. 2010's classic Yo Gabba Gabba. Please look up some footage of the original run of Yo Gabba Gabba. The celebrity and band cameos will blow your mind. Is also getting rebooted. Its revival will be headed to Apple TV Plus in August. Continuing what Christy and I keep saying, which is if you have children of a certain age, like I'd say between like 5 and 11, Apple TV Plus is where to go. There's so many quality kids shows on there, animated, live action, all of the above. A lot of adaptations of children's books that they probably already love and are fans of. Movie adaptations too. It's a kid's wonderland on that. And this just continues that trend. So, Apple TV Plus, worth the money if you have kids that age. Trust me. She's a children's librarian, so she would know. Anyway, I already talked about the Beatles thing, so this last bit is already covered. So, thank you for putting that there, Mike. But of course, you didn't know I was going to do that. But yeah, so that is the news from the television world this week. I watched some television. Because Mike's not here, I'll be brief with the thoughts, but I'll have to be brief about one of them because, unlike the rest of the internet, I did not binge watch the Fallout series on Amazon Prime. I watched the first episode. I watched the pilot, and I think I have an idea of what that thing is. So, just like everybody on the internet has been saying, the Fallout series is a pretty faithful adaptation of the Fallout video games. Specifically, the Bethesda ones. So, if you've played Fallout 3, Fallout 4, and New Vegas, you more or less know what to expect going into this show. A lot of familiar sights, a lot of familiar kinds of characters, a lot of context from the games. I wouldn't say is required for this, but I think improve your enjoyment of the show. So, if you, for example, know why there are vaults, why like what the Brotherhood of Steel is, what power armor is, what the drugs are in the world, what kind of weapons exist. All of this is in this show from the jump. Like I said, I only watched the pilot and all of that was crammed in there. And all the like visual and all the visual and audio hallmarks of the games are in the series as well. Yes, a lot of needle drops of classic 1950s crooners, a lot of old-fashioned imagery from that era, and a lot of brutal violence. Yes, from the first episode, you already get so many bloody limbs and forks and eyes and shooting and explosions, just everything that you'd want. It's like they turned on the bloody mess perk. Eh? Eh? Fallout. Anyways. I think it's charming. I think there's some really interesting character work they're doing there. I haven't watched more. I kind of am maybe interested into going to it. I don't know if it's 100% for me. I think Mike will love this. So if he's listening to this, check it out if you haven't. I don't know if you have Amazon. I don't remember. You might have for some sort of sport, but I'm not sure. But yeah, it's good if you like those games. It's very much for the audience of the games. But I do, from what I've heard, it does have a broad enough themes and characterizations where you can enjoy it without any knowledge of the Fallout series. So yeah, it's there. Video game people seem to like it. So it's accomplished its goal as far as I know. It's tonally all over the place, but hey, so are the Fallout games. You can have very serious critique about war one second, and you can have zany, off-the-wall, grotesque violence the next second. So prepare yourself. That's what this is, too. On the other side of the spectrum, I keep forgetting to talk about this, so I'm finally going to talk about it. Yes, I have been watching X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. I don't know why. It's been slipping my mind in the television thoughts section for literally 3 weeks now. But I have no excuse. I have no excuse for it. Because, holy shit, it's incredible. And consider this for a second. I am, one, not a comic book guy. If you listen to this show, you know that. Two, I have zero nostalgia for the original X-Men series that aired on Fox Kids. Zero. I didn't watch it. When I was a kid that age, I didn't want to watch action shows. I wanted to watch comedies. I was like, if this isn't funny, I'm not watching it. Just imagine a little 7-year-old me doing that. So this was not on my radar. This was not something I cared about or watched. Christy, however, does have a lot of nostalgia for that cartoon, has more comic book knowledge than me. So I was like, yeah, let's sit down and watch this. I'm sure she'll enjoy it. I've been really blown away with how good this show is. The animation is stellar. It is some of the most impressive animation I've seen on television, period. Disney gave them a budget, and you can tell. Definitely more than Haim Saban did back in the 90s, am I right? So yeah, it looks incredible. The characterization is way deeper than you could even imagine. They're doing some really interesting things with these superheroes that really delve into their psyches. Psyches that a lot of people are, characters that are a lot of people are already familiar with. You're kind of starting with a crew of very familiar X-Men. If you've watched the movies or read the comics, you more or less know about who they are and what they do. Wolverine, for example, Cyclops, Storm, Jean Grey, Rogue. These are people you know more or less what their deal is. But the show really delves into them, sometimes literally into their minds, to show you the kinds of things that they're seeing, thinking about, and doing. There's a lot of downtime here. It's an action show that takes time to not have action every once in a while, to just have real strong character moments. Leading up to episode 5, which was the most recent episode that aired, which is mostly character development, which is mostly just drama, and explodes into one of the most dramatic, like heart-wrenching climaxes I've ever seen in an animated show. It's incredible work. They're doing some fantastic stuff. There's some deep themes here. Again, that is not new to the series. The comics, of course, have done this, from my understanding, and the movies have addressed these topics as well. But just the metaphorical juxtaposition of the X-Men seen as this oppressed, lesser minority in society. There's endless parallels that you can do to the civil rights movement, to the gay rights movement, to even the trans rights movement that we're doing right now. There's so many things that it does such a good job of acting as a thematic metaphor for these things, and still relevant. These are characters who have existed for decades, and this show is proving that this stuff is still as relevant as it was when these characters were new. It's some incredible television. I don't know why Disney let the showrunner go before the show even launched. I think he's done a fantastic job. I recommend, if you need convincing about what the show does, the head writer, Bo DeMeo, put up a statement about it last week in which he basically talked about that episode, that really dramatic episode 5, and likened it to his own experience as a gay man who lived through the Pulse nightclub shooting in Florida. He wasn't there, but he went to Pulse a lot, and so when that happened, it really hurt him. It really affected him. His friends were affected by this. His culture was affected by this moment. And so he kind of talks about how he purposefully wanted that episode to kind of delve into those feelings, about what it was like to lose your friends. Spoilers, sorry. It's very dramatic. It's very well done. Please watch this show. Again, if you're like me and you have no... You know, if you're not an X-Men person, this will make you an X-Men person. Like, I'm convinced. I'm sold. It does all that, but also it delivers on some of the zany comic booky stuff, too. There's an episode where they get trapped in a video game, for crying out loud. It's the kind of comic book thing that, again, animation is the best medium for comic book adaptations. And this absolutely definitively proves that. The MCU movies became a thing. This is better than that. So please watch it. It's that good. All right. That's it for the thoughts. Let's move on to some cancellations and renewals. We start with some finales here. Star Trek Lower Decks will end after its 5th season on Paramount Plus. SWAT on CBS will end after its 7th season. The Talk, the long-running View knockoff, will end after 15 seasons on CBS. Sorry to my sister, who has watched that show for years. As for renewals, Monarch:Legacy of Monsters will get a 2nd season on Apple TV+, and Star Trek Strange New Worlds will get a 4th season on Paramount+. So, those are... Oh yeah, and The Rookie will get a 7th season on ABC. So those are your cancellations and renewals. We have a few deaths to talk about real quick. Peter Higgs, age 94, a theoretical physicist, discoverer of the titular Higgs boson, and a Nobel Prize laureate back in 2013. So thank you for the years of scientific of legacy there, Peter Higgs. Rest in peace. We also had Eleanor Coppola, age 87, a director. And, of course, a member of the Coppola dynasty and family, directed Heart of Darkness, The Making of Apocalypse Now, which is absolutely, like, required viewing if you've seen Apocalypse Now or if you're curious about Apocalypse Now. It is one of the best film documentaries if you're fascinated with what goes into making a production, especially a production that was as plagued and complicated as Apocalypse Now. This is a absolute stone-cold classic, so... Please watch this in memory of Eleanor. Yes, absolutely a good one. And then, last and definitely least, hey, O.J. Simpson? Yeah, he died. Cancer, I guess? I don't know. I guess he played some football. Yeah, I don't know. He likes Ford Broncos. He drove one once. That's notable. Actually, no, I think he was a passenger in one, to be fair. He was in some movies. He was in the Naked Gun movies. He was in The Towering Inferno. He won the Heisman Trophy in 1968. He definitely is guilty of murder. Or was. Definitely. He's dead, so I can say that. Anyways. Let's move on to movies. I wish I had music to divide these segments. We start the movie section with the box office numbers. Your number one movie in the box office this week, because A24 mandated that it was Civil War with a $25.7 million debut. That's not great. But then again, it's an A24 movie. That's probably great for them. Number two, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, made another $14.3 million. That's at $157 domestic. Number three, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire with another $4.6 million. That's at $95.8 million. That will probably make it just barely to 100 over the next couple weeks. Number four, Monkey Man with $4.5 million this week. That's only at $18 million. And rounding out your top five, still Kung Fu Panda 4 with another $4.4 million. So that's at 172. Upcoming this week, not a whole lot. We have something called Abigail, which I think is a horror film, and The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which basically looks to me from the trailer like somebody is trying to do a Inglourious Basterds again, like a lighthearted, as lighthearted as you can be, movie about war. So there you go. All right, let's wrap up the movie section with the bits. We have bits in movies too, believe it or not. Just straight across bits. Bits as far as the eye can see. This time from CinemaCon. CinemaCon happened last week. And little bits and pieces about movie news trickled out from the CinemaCon stages. First up, the one that everybody saw and made fun of right away, is that a Monopoly movie is in the works from Margot Robbie, because she produces everything these days, and Lionsgate. The best take I saw on this was a joke where somebody said, I hope that all the actors just get up after 45 minutes and say, fuck this, and leave. That'd be the most accurate Monopoly adaptation, I believe. I don't know. I don't know what you do with a Monopoly movie. Is it about, like, a land tycoon? Like, that's not fun. Is it Jumanji? Do we all become landlords? I don't like that. I don't like this. Now, if you're going to tell me it's a movie about, like, the race car and the thimble becoming best friends and living their best life, sign me up for that. That sounds fun. Thimble all the way. Anyway. Next up, a live-action movie continuing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise called The Last Ronin is apparently in the works. So, they're probably trying to capitalize on the recent success of the animated Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, as well as the Ghostbusters movies. So, 80s nostalgia is back. So, yeah, why not? Why not try another live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Just as long as you do the real suit, like the funny rubber suit turtles, and not CGI turtles. If you're doing live-action, suits are required. Please do that. It's going to look real stupid, and it's the only way that I want it. Tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me, all right? Wrong. Anyway. Next up, Paul Walter Hauser is going to be playing Chris Farley in an upcoming biopic directed by Josh Gad? So, I don't know if this is Josh Gad's first directorial project, but congratulations to Josh Gad. Do we need a Chris Farley documentary? Is that something that we need? Or not even documentary. It's a biopic, so I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know if I want this. Sure. And I don't know anything about this guy, so I don't even know if he's, like, a good pick to play Chris Farley. I don't know. What was that audition process, do you think? They just brought people in and just saw how accurately they could fall on a breakable table? Just over and over again, just falling on breakable tables? Sounds fun. Not for the people who are falling on the table. I understand that that's probably very painful. So, I don't know. Sure, this is happening. This combined with that SNL 1975 movie that just keeps getting new cast members and will never ever come out. A lot of SNL movie stuff coming in the next few months. So, it's for somebody, I think. Whoever that is. I don't know. We'll see. Moving on. Glenn Powell is back in the news. He will be starring in the Running Man remake, directed by Edgar Wright. Okay, well, that last bit maybe has convinced me to care about this. I don't know much about The Running Man, but sure, if you're going to remake it, I think Edgar Wright's an interesting choice. And sure, why not Glenn Powell? Why not? Next up, a Transformers/G.I. Joe crossover movie has been made official by Paramount and will star Chris Hemsworth. Again, sure, why not? I think the Transformers movies by themselves are not great. Every time they've tried it, it has not gone super well. They're not good. I mean, see, people like Bumblebee, but besides that, I don't know. So combining it with a G.I. Joe movie, that's a move. And the last time they tried a G.I. Joe movie, that also was trash. So maybe they're like hoping that if you put the peanut butter and the chocolate together, that people will be drawn to at least one of those things. So good luck, because that sounds like a weird choice. Chris Hemsworth, by the way. Yeah, sure. Why not? Is he going to be a G.I. Joe or a Transformer? I mean, we probably all know the answer to that one. Next up, why? A Scary Movie reboot is in the works. I guess it's been long enough since Scary Movie where we could do that again. It's interesting when you consider how many new big hit horror movies we've had since the Scary Movie franchise ended. I think you can do a fun parody of something like Megan, for example. You could do something like Get Out. You know, like there's stuff you can do. And so I don't blame them for wanting to do a parody horror movie again. And why not? Scary Movie is a name that still probably has some cachet. So, sure. I guess it really depends on who's involved, who's writing this thing. Because that's going to be really make or break. Then the rest of the news was just a bunch of new trailers with some footage of upcoming movies, including the Joker sequel. We saw the first footage of Lady Gaga in that, as well as some weird makeup on Joaquin Phoenix. We also had some trailers and footage for Mickey 17, Moana 2, Captain America 4, Mufasa, and Sonic the Hedgehog 3, as well as Gladiator 2. Also, we had news out of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 that Shadow the Hedgehog will somehow be voiced by Keanu Reeves. Yes, you heard that right. If I am the first person to tell you that news, I hope you stayed seated and that you weren't blown away out of your chair. Or whatever you're doing right now. I don't know, do you think we're a podcast that people listen to while they're running? Is somebody on a treadmill right now? If you're on a treadmill, go faster. 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 No, you're not going fast enough. Speed it up. Come on. Get those gains. Sorry. I'm not a fitness motivator. I'm not like one of those Apple Fitness guys or the Peloton dudes. No. Sorry. Yeah, I don't see us as a fitness podcast. I think we're a podcast that you play while you're like, I don't know, playing Tetris 99 or something. Just another Hades run and put us on. Anyways, maybe cleaning the house. I bet we're a pretty decent cleaning the house podcast. And that'll do it. That's the news from CinemaCon, and that's the news for movies, and that's the news for us, because that's it. That was the show. Under an hour. I am nothing but efficient. That's what I hear. So thank you for joining me here at the Media Boat Podcast. We do this every week on Tuesdays. So if you want to look at us, our faces, while we say things at you, you can find the video versions of this podcast on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search Media Boat Podcast and you can find us. Like, subscribe, leave a comment if you are so persuaded. Click the bell for notifications when new videos go up. Like I said, check out that a couple of new things that went up this week, or actually just one, video-wise, is the No Doubt tier list that Christy headlined. So yeah, check that out. That's up on the channel. If you'd rather hear us in audio form, you can do so by searching Media Boat Podcast on any of your podcast services of choice. So do that there. We're on social media. We're on Twitter/X as Media Boat Cast. We're on Blue Sky even. Search Media Boat there to find us. We're on Twitch.tv where Mike continues to go through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We're on Facebook if you search Media Boat Podcast. And we're on the internet at MediaBoatPodcast.com. There you can see a piece that I put up this week because it's Taylor time about weirdest Taylor Swift songs, in my opinion. I made a playlist. You can go and check that out if you'd like to know, alongside write-ups about why I think those songs that I chose are weird. Some of them aren't that weird. Some of them are very weird. So if you're in the Taylor mood in anticipation of Tortured Poets, check that out. I'm pretty proud of what I did there. And then in the meantime, we'll be back next week. Well, I'll be back next week for another episode where, yes, we will talk about the Tortured Poets Department. I was almost going to say Society. That's not the name of that record. Among other things. So, tune in next week. And see ya. Bye-bye.